Okay.
I mean, I think, yeah, Joyride was fucking just so much fun to watch.
Okay.
Tight. Hey, what's up, everybody? I hope you got your popcorn ready, because we're about to bring you two motherfucking reviews.
That's motherfucking right. We are in this bitch one more time.
Welcome to Cinema Renderos, a.k.a. the Renderos Bros, because I still haven't changed the fucking name, but I like Cinema Renderos.
Yeah. It'll be coming pretty soon.
But anyways, guys, I hope everybody's well. Just writing some notes here to say I love you all.
Yeah, that's right.
Heart emojis sending your way.
We love your ears.
The sexiest ears.
Keep listening.
The sexiest ears. This sounds terrible. Anyways, guys, it's us as always bringing you again two reviews. But we're gonna start off with the beer of the week.
Yeah.
While I start off with a murder mystery, not a murder mystery, a crime mystery. So, after 8 months in captivity, Indian police finally cleared their suspect of espionage.
Okay.
The suspect in question, a pigeon. A pigeon flew into a port in Mumbai. This is from the Associated Press, by the way. That's where I got the article from.
What's going on exactly?
So, this pigeon got into the port near Mumbai. And officials saw it there and somehow captured it and saw that it had two rings on it with Chinese writing.
Okay.
So they suspected espionage, took the pigeon in. They started waterboarding it. They started fucking beating it. Tell us, who do you work for? No, that's not true.
Its fucking wings.
Yeah, they took out its fucking feathers. They're like, clip too close.
What the fuck ended up
happening? You'll bleed to death. Nothing. It turns out that it was a racing bird that had escaped from Taiwan and ended up making its way to India.
Trying to get as far away as possible.
Yeah, he's like, I'm so tired of racing.
Yeah.
Ka-chow. I am done with this. But yeah, so it escaped from Taiwan, ended up in India. But finally, some good news. With the permission of the Indian police, it was transferred over to the Bombay Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals and set free.
Okay.
Finally. But 8 months.
Yeah.
I mean, like, grilling this fucking bird. Like, just be like, motherfucker, tell us who you work for. And
answer
it's just like,
me.
Yeah, answer me. God.
It's fucking hilarious. It's fucking crazy that they really went into an investigation about a fucking bird.
Well, I think
that deep.
Yeah. I mean, but I feel like right now, especially with how the relations with China and that region of the world has been going, people are a little, you know, Taiwan's worried about an invasion happening any day of the week now. They're very concerned. The United States is obviously like, yo, we'll back you up. But also, again, the United States has business with China. So I don't know how this is going to play out.
That shit will cause a lot of fucking issues.
Sure. I mean, that's the thing. You know, there's a lot of things in motion that are going on around the world that, you know, they do bring some concern.
Yeah.
You know, but again, I hope not. Because, I don't want to see that.
We got to fucking wait and see what the fuck happens, pretty much.
Yeah, exactly. But anyways, let's hit it with the beer of the week.
We got Lagunitas Brewing Co. Maximus Colossal IPA. It is a 9.0 ABP. Robusticus Flavoricus.
Robusticus Flavoricus.
Yeah.
The best magic
the
words.
Hop heads. People mumble. Beer SPX is what the fucking dog is wearing on his neck.
Okay.
And yeah. Doesn't really have anything else on the can.
I mean, I've seen the Lagunitas cans before.
Yeah.
I've seen the Maximus one. I've never tried it because, again, not the biggest IPA guy. But what's the percentage of alcohol by volume? Nine. Yeah, that always concerns me.
That's
when it
a comes smacker.
To, yeah, that is a smacker. And Lagunitas does not fuck around with their hops. Like, they definitely like to make their shit.
Oh, for sure. Hop. For to say fucking, what the fuck did you say? For all the hop heads?
For all the hop head, dude, it
I don't know how,
smells.
Yeah, I don't know how I fucking feel about that, but go ahead. Try it out
it
and let me know
like
what
hop.
You think. The can has like an old, like a Caesar's Greek type of fucking statue. It's a dog with a crown over his head. A pretty nice can. Chill. Sam's drinking it and doesn't look like he's making too much of a crazy face, but what's up?
You know, surprisingly, the hop is there at the end, tail end for
me. Try this shit.
But I will say that initially when you're drinking it, you don't really get the hop's flavor. It's not until after it settles that you get that hop kick at the end. But for 9, I expected it to be worse for 9.0. I mean, honestly, like as I tried the drink, I initially was like, oh, this is really clean. It's a really clean start. but right at the end, the hops comes in and kind of throws me off. But not as bad as I expected it to be.
It's smooth for sure, but the hops does fucking kick and linger like a motherfucker.
On the end, yeah, big time. For sure. But definitely, if you are a hop head, you would probably enjoy this. I mean, I am not a hop head at all.
You'll definitely enjoy this IPA. It's a... It's very hoppy and very strong, so that's exactly what I'm sure what the fuck you're looking for.
Yeah.
So go ahead and give it a rip.
Yeah, but I mean, honestly, like, I mean, again, if you're an IPA guy, like, you're not going to complain about this fucking thing.
No, for sure.
You know, I think you'll always enjoy shit. I remember when I went to the Stone Brewery offshoot in Pasadena.
Yeah.
And I went in there, and the young woman was like, hey, so what can I get for you? And I was like, I'm not a big fan of IPAs.
Yeah.
What can you offer me that's not going to be too crazy?
Okay.
And she gave me the Stone IPA All the Way or whatever. I forget exactly the name because it's been years.
I've never had it.
And it was super crisp, very light on the hops, still an IPA, but it wasn't as bad. I knocked back like four of those guys before getting back out there into the street, the mean streets of Pasadena.
That's right. Was it fucking smooth? Or like...
It was smooth. It was very smooth. Very, very light on the hops.
Yeah, light beer too, not fucking...
Yeah, I think it was like just 6.0.
Okay.
Yeah,
just a regular beer then, yeah.
Just a regular beer, but it was mild enough to still be... I mean, still classified as an IPA, but not... And that's the one I was like, yes, this one right here... It's definitely not in my wheelhouse. Again, it's kind of deceptive of how it comes in smooth.
For me, I think if I were to drink this, I'd have to fucking chug it for sure. Because if not, oh man, that taste just really kicks. You know what I mean?
I'm just preparing to chug this weekend when we go out.
Yeah, it's true.
For the old celebrations.
It's coming around the corner.
Yeah, but let's get into our movie reviews here as we... enjoy the rainy weather that's been happening, and I know that it's been bad in some areas. I mean,
fucking flooding all over the fucking place.
I was looking at some of the numbers. I mean, like, I forget what areas got 11 inches, 12 inches. I think Long Beach got
an hour or some shit like
that. Yeah, something like that. Beach, I think, escaped most of it.
Yeah,
they only got like 4.5 inches to 5.5 inches. The preliminary numbers here in the valley, we've seen Burbank got 6 inches. We got about 6 inches here in our part of town. But most of the area of Los Angeles saw about 6 to 8 inches
seemed like a lot.
Yeah.
For fucking L.A., for sure.
Well, I think they were saying that we get, our rainy season is about 14 inches, period.
Okay.
And we've broken records in some areas of the city. And some areas have experienced flooding, mudslides. Luckily, not as bad as I think the initial prediction of the storm was coming.
Yeah, because wasn't the eye of the storm supposed to land on us?
It was supposed to land on us, but I think...
It missed. It went a little bit north.
Yeah, and so that helped, I think, avoid a lot of bigger problems because they were initially expecting 6 to 9 inches in the mountains.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and they were like not just on Sunday, but they were expecting it to be most of the week, and they were expecting it also to get stalled out above us and just sit there for the whole week. But it looks like by Thursday, we should be in the clear and back to sunny and 70. Take that, East Coast. No.
We'll be rocking that for another whole week, so I'll be fucking nice to just get back to
regular
fucking times.
So our first film that we're going to talk about is Rustin, which is something that I had no idea. It's about activist Bayard Rustin, who was a gay black man during the civil rights movement, who helped organize the march on Washington back in 1963. But he also is kind of an ignored person in history because I've actually never heard of Rustin.
Yeah.
And the reason I picked this film was because Coleman Domingo was nominated for Best Lead in a film. I do like everything that I've seen Coleman Domingo in. But I was very curious about him, you know, in this film, because it turns out he's the second openly gay man to be nominated for playing a gay character.
Okay.
And then this film was directed by George, I fucking missed the name, George C. Wolfe, who we enjoyed his film, Ma Rainey's Black Bottom.
And you're picking it because of your award season.
Award season films, right? Yes. It's award season. And I've never actually watched a majority of the films that have been nominated for Oscars.
Yeah, yeah.
I've watched maybe like one or two, maybe three or four. You know, they nominate 10. They nominate 10 now.
The ones that are mainly talked about and shit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I was like, you know what? This year I want to try a little something more. I want to try to push it. Your thoughts, because I know that you're not typically interested in, especially biopics and stuff like that.
I feel like the movie was it was pretty enjoyable in the sense of like it had a good pace. I didn't expect it to be. I expected it to be more boring, I guess, like way more boring than.
Yeah.
It didn't really get to that point.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I mean, like I said, like the movie that we watched was Ma Rainey's big Black Bottom the last in-person performance by Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, honestly, I expected it to be maybe a little bit more boring, and it was not.
Yeah.
Pretty well-paced, very well-acted. It's got a plethora of actors. It's got Chris Rock, you have Gus Halpert as Tom.
All the actors are fucking. They play their role really, really fucking good.
You know what I mean? I will say that I'm Amin, who plays Martin Luther King Jr.
Yeah,
I felt that his cadence wasn't particularly there.
Okay,
but I felt that he still encapsulated the spirit of the man that you know we have learned so much about.
Yeah,
that a lot of, like, not all white people, but, you know, white racists in this country, they like to use Martin Luther King as, like, look. Yeah, but they don't listen to everything that he says.
Yeah, of course.
You know?
Fucking pick and choose what they want
to
fucking.
They pick and choose what they want to hold.
Yeah.
To the light. But, I mean, I think.
Fucking anybody else.
Yeah, George C. Wolfe directs it beautifully. I think it's wonderfully paced.
Yeah. And charismatic as fuck.
Yeah. I mean, so Coleman Domingo is just wonderful on screen from start to finish. Very charismatic, very wonderful. The accent that he put on feels like it was from that era and time period, like the dialect and everything that he accented. It does sound like somebody who would speak in the early 60s.
Yeah, and, I agree.
Yeah. But I mean, like, yeah, but it's just a biopic. Like, that's the biggest problem that the movie has. It just feels like a biopic with just an interesting person in time.
Yeah.
But it was also, I did like that it was an eye-opening kind of thing of like how, you know, the civil rights movement was not just black people trying to get, you know, their share in this world, but also like it was a push to start really opening eyes and hearts about everyone's shared experience, right? Like, I mean, there was a lot of times where he was like, yeah, I get it. I'm a gay dude.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to quit this fight just because, like, you know, everybody else don't like me.
Fucking foot down,
He's like, this fight's for all of us.
Yeah.
Whether I'm black or not. He's like, this fight is for all of us.
The fact that the dude put this big ass fucking thing together with his team and all that kind of shit, and you never heard of him, never, you know, any of that kind of shit, never, like, no light on him at all.
Yeah.
It says a lot.
Yeah.
It says a lot about what the fuck has been put in our face and what has been hidden.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, that's the thing. Like, there's a lot of stuff that's hidden from our eyes, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think, like, this just giving me a little peek of a moment in time.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, like, but.
And done well, of course.
Yeah, done really well. I mean, I think definitely Coleman deserves the Oscar nomination.
Yeah.
I don't particularly think he's going to win due to the fact that I don't feel like Rustin's made a lot of noise in terms of, like, the film season.
Yeah.
But I mean, again, I think it's a wonderful performance. I'm so excited to see that, you know, they're fucking, you know, the industry has a long way to go.
It's a new film, and I didn't even know it was on Netflix for shit. So.
Yeah. You know, and like,
I
again,
I fucking search for it still because it doesn't pop up on my fucking feed.
Ah, okay. For me, the
algorithm,
it pops up in my feed. Okay. But, you know, from the dumbest fucking movies, because it'll recommend me some Adam Sandler shit to the most serious biopics. Like, they're like,
the early Adam Sandler shit was good, though.
Early Adam Sandler shit. You know, I always tell people, like, fucked up Adam Sandler movies for me was watching him in Punch Drunk Love. Because watching him that shit, I was like, this motherfucker has so much range.
Yeah.
And he goes for, like, easy money. But I can't blame him either. Like, I'd go for easy money if I could also.
Yeah, of course.
You know, fucking make movies where all my friends get to hang out for a fucking couple weeks while we fucking shoot the shit and fucking make dumb fucking juvenile jokes.
Hell yeah.
Like, I mean, for sure, I would do that. Kevin James is, like, definitely clinged onto his back.
Well, after fucking King of Queens.
King of Queens.
He fucking had to, because that was the main run for him.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. And I mean, like, I mean, he got enough time in there for syndications. I mean, like, that shit's just...
exactly.
You know, that's the important part. But, yeah, I mean, like, I did enjoy this film. I did enjoy this film.
I thought so, too. I didn't think it was going to be, like I said, that was going to be fucking boring as fuck, political in that sense. But, no, it was fucking well-paced, charismatic. The dialogue was cool. It was fucking actually pretty good. Pretty good movie.
And I think, again, like, the dynamic, I really did want to see a little bit more between him and Emil Amin. Yeah. Again, I think the dynamics between the real-life friendship there, like, I think that's where it helped plant the seed for Martin Luther King, right? Like, he's still trying to navigate how he feels about things. But I think ultimately, like, I mean, I always say this. I think when the FBI killed Martin Luther King, you know, because that's what I believe. I believe that, especially during that time period, the FBI is definitely not looking for people to cause waves.
Oh, and fuck no.
Right, and exactly. And Martin Luther King, to them, was a disruptor. And so, like, I think to myself, like, Martin Luther King, the moment he realized, oh, shit, this is not just a black and white thing. This is the poor working class versus the rich.
Yeah.
Is when they were like, okay, he's figured it out. We need to get him.
Well, yeah, he's going to fucking start spreading the word.
His last march that he had planned before he was assassinated, I mean, the march happened, was the Poor People's March. That's what it was called. It was called the Poor People's March. And then he was assassinated the week before. So, I mean, the thing was, he had figured it out.
Yeah, because
they
were setting up the system.
I don't give a fuck. More and more. Yeah, I said it. The FBI killed... But I mean, I'm not the only one. A lot of people, his family suspects that. So, I mean, like, let's not lie here. I mean, we all know that we have the CIA disrupting shit around the world. We have the FBI disrupting shit here. The status quo. They don't want you to rock the boat. Just enjoy the fucking ride.
Yeah,
just be part of the machine.
Yeah, take your fucking Dremel. Because it's going to be a bumpy one.
It's going to be chappy, son. And don't worry, we're going to be here to fix it.
It's an eye opener for sure. It's an eye opener.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, even at the end, right? Like when most of the guys looked at him and like, "Hey man, you did it, Rustin. You put this shit together."
Oh yeah.
And they were like, "Oh, he should be with us." And they're like, "He's still gay though, right? Like, not maybe not Martin Luther King."
Well, even in those days, fucking, you see,
how
bad they would treat people. It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah. And so I was like, motherfuckers. Like, I mean, then that's the thing. Like, I just like. At the end, it did piss me off because, again, the civil rights movement should have been for everyone.
Yeah, it's just depicting those times. So
yeah, and the guys, and again, power corrupts.
Definitely.
You know, and I think, like, that's the thing. They were trying to navigate, how do we handle all this? I think there were some good people, and obviously there's people who were there also to get themselves a little cut of the cake.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, they're trying to milk that shit.
But yeah, but our second film now, I mean, so yeah, check it out. It's on Netflix. Watch it. You should watch it. Coleman Domingo puts on a wonderful performance. The movie's really well done.
Yeah, it's free.
Yeah, it's free because you pay for it. No commercials. But our second film is Dumb Money, Stonks. Fucking To the Moon, as my brother was saying last week.
To the Moon.
Yeah, so basically it's a story of a guy who realized that Wall Street was trying to short squeeze GameStop to make profits off of its failure. And he was able to, just through discussion, get a movement behind to prop up the stocks to collapse some wealth for the rich, even though in the long run, you know, they're still making money hand over fist.
Well, of course.
But a little damage goes a long way.
Yeah. But he opened their fucking eyes for this never to happen again.
Yeah, and I was wondering why they called it Dumb Money. I'm glad the film explained it, that it's, you know, it's what they call retail traders that don't have, you know...
Any experience
or any real knowledge. They just go in because they think they're supposed to, and they usually pick, you know, losing stocks. They lose their money, and, this guy was considered dumb money. The movie is directed by Craig Gillespie, who he's directed I, Tonya, Lars and the Real Girl, The Finest Hour, Million Dollar Arm.
I, Tonya, what the fuck?
I, Tonya is about the Tonya...
Tonya Harding?
Tonya Harding,
okay.
Yeah, so it starts with Margot Robbie. I mean, the only thing that I've seen besides this film was I've watched 30 minutes of Cruella, and I hated it. And then there is another movie, Fright Night. He directed Fright Night, with Anton Yelchin and fucking Colin Farrell. Rest in peace, Anton Yelchin. One of my favorite young actors. I mean, like,
yeah, he died way too young, man.
Way too 27, 28.
Yeah,
yeah, tragic. I was just watching a clip, a video essay about the film Green Room by I want to say Spinka Movies on YouTube. Okay. And they were talking about the scene where he has his arm through the door and he's getting sliced up by the Nazis. He's getting his arm sliced in the film.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was saying like how well executed that scene was, because he's giving you other things to focus on and letting your imagination run wild as he's screaming in pain. Like, yeah. But also Anton Yelchin is selling that. And I'm like, fuck, man.
Well, yeah, when he's about to get fucking shot in Alpha Dog.
Yeah.
He fucking sells that.
I remember like watching I remember watching Alpha Dog at
you feel fucking bad
at dad's
bad
house.
As fuck. Like, damn.
I remember watching it. This yeah, and he's like, please don't do this. You know, I won't say anything. I, you know, because he thought, oh, these are my friends.
Yeah.
You know, because yeah, like
I befriended them now.
Yeah, I befriended them now. Like, we're cool. We're cool. We're cool. This is fine.
Yeah, but that one fool was all up on the nuts. He was like, I'm gonna do what I'm told.
Yeah, yeah, fucking tragic.
Yeah, but fucking Frightened also was a good movie.
Oh, dude, it's one of my favorite.
I enjoyed that fucking movie a lot.
And again, it's him, and I think it is Imogen Poots who stars in Green Room with him as one of the neo-Nazi girls. She's one with the cut. But I really do like that film. I do like Fright Night. Like, it's not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but there's so much enjoyment in that movie. There's
it's
so
a
much
good,
fun.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's a good ride for sure.
So, you know, that when I saw that he had directed this film, I was excited to see Dumb Money. So, like, and I want to say, like, it's really enjoyable. It stars Paul Dano as Keith Gill.
Yeah.
Pete Davidson as his brother. Vincent D'Onofrio is in it. America Ferrera. All Hail the Queen. Nick Offerman. Seth Rogen has a small appearance. Sebastian Stan. Shane Lee Woodley. It's got a bunch of actors in this movie. And honestly, like, even with the smallest part, they still feel like they're operating on the full track system, like, getting through the story together.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I really did enjoy this movie. And, I mean, I know that you had watched it previously, but, like, why did you end up picking this film? Because this one, I mean, when I saw the trailer for it, it caught my attention, but it didn't catch my attention to go pursue it. And it wasn't until last week when you picked it that I was like, all right.
The reason I picked it is because fucking around the time, excuse me, I was kind of messing with the stocks, seeing what was out there. I didn't buy into GameStop, but I bought into other stuff. It was kind of like slightly after COVID. So I bought into other stocks, and my buddy had already had this. So fucking out of nowhere, he just started to fucking see his shit grow and grow and grow. We didn't even know about Wall Street bets or nothing like that. But after that happened, and he saw crazy growth within a day, we fucking hopped on it and just started kind of diving more into the whole stock in stocks and day trading, all that kind of shit. So that's pretty much the reason why, you know what I mean?
To get you a little peek into the system. Yeah, I mean, honestly, obviously, my politics are very anti, let's get the rich, let's eat the rich. But I mean, watching this film, it's just more prevalent to me than ever. Like, it is an important story for people to watch because, I mean, for me, like, watching this film while the cast is doing their thing, the anger that comes from the manipulation that I see these rich motherfuckers do with Wall Street and the games that they play with imaginary money, right? Because GameStop, it wasn't doing all that hot because of the pandemic and everything. And, you know, and obviously the corporate masters were able to keep it open by saying, well, we sell computer mouses, like they say in the film, or computer, you know. And, but like how they decided to even damage GameStop just on the side by selling stock and then kind of shorting it in terms of the funds that it has within its own system. And this guy was like, no, like they're trying to short squeeze this, and just talking about it was able to, again, rally people to the fucking movement. And, I mean, Paul Dano, to me, he's an incredible actor. I've loved everything that he's in.
Yeah.
From Little Miss Sunshine to The Batman, just There Will Be Blood.
He picks good fucking roles, for
sure. He does pick good fucking roles. And I'm really glad that he's there. I know that Pete Davidson gets a lot of hate from people, but I really do like Pete Davidson. As a personality, no as a comedian, you know, he's just so charming. He's playing himself in everything that he's in, but he's always so much fun in Bodies, 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 The King of Staten Island. I think he's
Good
just...
Burger too. Come on.
Good
just
Burger.
Fire, fire, homie.
But he's great. Obviously, Vincent D'Onofrio, he's one of the fucking greatest of all time. Again, America Ferrera, I've loved everything that she's in.
The cast of the fucking film is great.
Yeah, the writing is sharp. The movie is written by Lauren Shuker Bloom and Rebecca Angelo, based on the book The Anti-Social Network by Ben Mezrich.
For me to fucking go through this shit in reality and then see it on film was pretty cool. I'm not going to lie. Fucking, it kind of brought back all the feelings of making some money. Well, I didn't buy into this, but I made money off of my shit, luckily.
Yeah.
But my buddy fucking made a good killing off of just fucking just liking GameStop, apparently. You know what I mean?
And the whole time, you know, like watching this, I was like always screaming at Jenny, like, sell your stock, girl.
Yeah.
Sell your stock, girl. Like, you know, like, it, because at some point, you know, you got to fold. And I know they're like holding or whatever, but I think if you are...
I think it was like 2 days before they fucking froze it up.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember when they froze it up. I remember, because the thing is, like, obviously,
I convinced my buddy to sell off and shit. So he got lucky.
Because I remember when all this stuff was happening, right? Yeah. Like, I was watching the memes, and you know, but I mean, obviously, like, I wasn't gonna jump into that stuff because I know how volatile it is.
Yeah.
Like, and so I was just like, I hope people pull out and make their money. I hope you make your money. Fuck Wall Street. Make your cash. I wanted the regular people to make their money.
Yeah, of course.
But I was also concerned that people would not pull out in time. And I mean, I'm glad they showed it. It was a shame that it had to happen to Jenny because, like, you know, she was working. She was like,
she fucking made a killing.
She would have made a killing. Sell. You know,
she made a killing and didn't sell.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the fucking.
But it happens. It's the risk, right? That's why it's a risk, especially if you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, like watching the film, though, like, it brought back all those memories of when they froze Robin Hood and how they accused them of, like, maybe manipulating the market, you know, the alleged cases. And then, of course, at the end, when they're like, no charges were filed, of course not. People who work in Wall Street work for the government, work for the Security Exchanges Commission. Of course they're going to have each other's fucking dick in their hand and be like, hey, man, a little tug for you, a little tug for me.
Yeah, we're both fucking nut together.
Exactly. And then, like, and then at the end of the day, when motherfuckers leave the government sector, they go into the private sector because they have the tools to just continuously go round and round and round. It's a big fucking game to them.
Yeah.
But for regular people, it's not. And I did love the fact that it was just one regular dude who fucking just, you know, got into it as a hobby, and people then were like, let's fucking go.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
And so I think they also, what I did like, and I don't know how true it is, right, at the end of the film when they were like, you know, when retail traders, they're watching to see what stocks they're putting squeezes on to fuck with their money too.
Yeah.
And so, like, I mean, I liked that they caused a hit in the pockets of the rich. Again, like, the rich have just mechanisms for survival.
The way I found out about it was because it froze. I had already bought in, and the day that it fucking froze, I was like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
And then started researching, and I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But I even told my buddy, I was like, dude, you're fucking lucky, man. So fucking lucky. He made like, he probably spent maybe $150 on shares, and he fucking pulled out almost 15 racks, yo. So it's like.
But it's good. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you go in low, you end up going high, and because the fact that, you know, these Wall Street assholes thought, oh yeah, we'll make money off this, right? It's the same thing that caused it was a bunch of shit that caused the collapse back in 2008, right? It was them giving you shitty loans because obviously you don't speak legalese, you don't have the economic training.
Yeah.
But on top of that, they were then taking bundles of mortgages and then betting what will succeed and what will fail. And like, you're like, so you're making bets on imaginary fucking money that doesn't exist. And then also giving regular people these shitty fucking loans because they don't understand that the rate they get in on will change because the subprime loans, the interest will go up as all that shit rises. and you don't tell them that shit because obviously it's in legalese and you're getting commissions for fucking doing this, and then you're fucking gambling on this side.
Yeah, no one's gonna fucking read the fine print.
Exactly.
Well, you should.
And then, and then the whole fucking thing collapses. People lose their homes, they lose their livelihood, people lost their jobs, and Wall Street unscathed, bailed out by the United States government. And that's the shit that makes me mad when I watch movies like this. Like, I like the little man getting there, but this shit, this is what fucking pisses me off. Because
for me, it's like these fucking things are, or these movies show the little man what the fuck is going on in your face, but the little man is too stupid in a sense to fucking unite, which is it's just hard in a sense. It's hard because everybody fucking. Everybody struggles in a sense, you know what I mean?
Right. Like, I mean, that's the thing they were talking about, right? They were. I know that a lot of labor organizers across the country would love a general strike. Everybody just bring the economy to a grinding fucking halt.
Exactly.
But it's also terrifying, right? Because, you know, the leverage that they have on you as a worker is for a lot of, especially super poor working classes, they don't get it.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like,
I feel like when you get a shit ton of money, you become corrupt, of course. You know what I mean? There maybe someday in the fucking future, hopefully in the near future, somebody just gets fucking super filthy rich off of some shit and can supplement the working class in the United States, I guess.
I mean, sure.
For at least a week, I'd say.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I'll send everybody a fucking check. Let me know how much you fucking make. And I'll cut everybody that check for a week. Just, I want you to stay home.
Fuck it, dude. I mean, if
see what the fuck happens. Don't mind nothing.
Yeah. I mean, like, dude, I'll be like, I will send everyone $5,000 to not work for a month.
Yeah. That would fucking change. That would fucking be insane.
I'd be like, just to fuck with everybody else.
But the rich look out for the rich no matter what.
Yeah, exactly. It's like
these rich ass motherfuckers that are in power now, got there because of their families.
Right, like, I mean, the thing is, like, right, like, I think about, like, an example of a rich person who, you know, she's still rich, don't get me wrong, but she has pretty much given away most of her wealth to fund schools.
Bezos?
Huh?
Bezos X?
No. Mm-hmm. No. Bezos is a piece of shit. Because what they do, there's videos about how rich people use charity as a way to get away with funneling tax money around. I'm talking about like Dolly Parton. Dolly Parton is a millionaire.
Yeah.
She could be a billionaire, but she refused. She funds library programs across the country. She funds summer programs for kids around the country.
Yeah.
You know, literacy is a big thing for her because she didn't grow up with easy access to books.
Yeah.
So she has spent a lot of her wealth to get shit going. And like, so she's like, I could be a billionaire. I could be greedy. But I know that people need access to shit. So she has used her wealth to make that happen. And like, that's a thing. Like, she could exist as a billionaire, but she refuses to. And I think that's the important thing. So like, when Bezos or Bill Gates or fucking whoever the fuck says, I'm giving away my money to charity, it's to their own charity. And it becomes like this fucking like, you know, this hide and seek game with the money, because they're like, yeah, my money's gonna make more money being taxable as a charity.
Yeah.
Then instead of me actually like using that money to lobby Congress to actually make rules, right? Like Warren Buffett talks about how he pays 17% tax on his income,
yeah,
compared to his mate who makes 40%. And he goes, but that's wrong. It shouldn't be that way. But then again, because he's a billionaire, he still does billionaire things. He doesn't help change shit. He keeps the status quo going.
Exactly.
And it's like, okay, cool. Because he knows that, oh, I can talk about it and give myself some fucking PR to make it look like I understand the plight of the working class. But you don't.
Yeah.
If I ask you, motherfucker, how much is a Maruchan cup of noodle soup at the grocery store? That motherfucker will be like, that shit is $25. And you'll be like, no, bitch, it's 2-for-1. You don't understand the plight of the working class.
Shouldn't even 2-for-1 anymore, bro. Fuck.
It's still, Rouse, it's still 2-for-1. $2 for $1. But I'm talking about, like,
I saw that fucking 7-Eleven. $2.25.
Yeah,
I bet. Like, what the fuck?
And that's the thing. You're paying for the convenience.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, right? It's just, dude, there's so much bullshit
Yeah.
Like, and this movie just, it's just an eye opener because if, especially like, if you don't know,
you want to put some money in Dolly Parton's pocket so she can help out the fucking people.
Yeah.
A rock star.
Yeah.
Her album came out last year and I actually heard one song on NPR and I heard her interview. It wasn't that bad, man. I can't lie.
No, she's incredibly. Bad. I mean,
I was like, wow, okay.
Dolly Parton is incredibly talented.
Very poppy, very in tune with the times.
Yeah, yeah.
Whoever fucking helped her with that shit. And I was like, okay. It was actually covers, but covers that are done within our fucking time. Like people, it just sounds good. You know what I mean?
It's one of those things, right? Like country music used to be.
Well, music is fucking selective. You know what I mean? People just like whatever they like.
Right.
You can't really, it's like anything, food, movies, people just like what they like. And you can't really knock on people for liking what they like. It's
like,
just, it is what it is.
When I listen to country music, I don't listen to like pop country music, right?
Yeah.
I listen to like Johnny Cash, Willie Nelson, Patsy Cline. I don't really listen to Dolly Parton. It's not really my jam, but every once in a while there's a song here and there. But the thing is, like, country music was about the working class.
Yeah.
Was about like pushing back against the rich and how the rich have fucked us over, heartbreak and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the record industry got wind of it and then changed it into this pop country fucking shit where they're fucking singing about red solo cups and how big their tractor is and drinking their American beer and the red, white, and blue. That's right, Toby Keith, I'm talking about you.
They fucking also try to, Toby Keith just died today, no? Or some shit.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he died today.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Toby Keith.
But again, the thing is like, you know, pretty that's sure, the thing. He was a pandering country star who sang about, oh, it's good that we're dropping bombs on Afghani citizens because red, white, and blue, baby. And I'm like, that's the kind of shit that
America.
Country music is now. And I fucking hate it.
Well,
and you know, if Toby Keith is dead, you know,
he's fucking also he's dead. These politicians fucking use these fucking songs and then people think, oh yeah, this fucking this is what the working man, or not actually not even the working man, the fucking people with money, this is what they listen to.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
the fucking those fools try to, be part of the working class, or try to like
Bruce Springsteen, right?
Convince you that they're part of the working class in a sense.
Bruce Springsteen, whenever they use Born in the USA, because conservatives don't fucking know, that is not a song about pride in America. That is a song about how shitty it was in the 80s for American citizenship. John Mellencamp.
Those Republican fuckers have been using that fucking song by fucking Oliver Anthony. Rich Men North of Richmond.
Yeah, yeah. That fucking guy.
If you listen to the fucking words that he's saying, he's talking about the working class straight out.
There are aspects of that song that I'm like,
a white guy, so.
There's aspects of that song that I listen to.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, cool. And then there's other aspects of the song I'm like, oh, so you're shitting on welfare? What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
I remember listening to, I gave that song a shot because everybody's like making a big uproar about that fucking song.
Yeah,
but
I listened to it, yeah.
But honestly, like,
I looked at some of the songs that he also fucking wrote. One's called I Got to Get Sober.
Yeah.
Another one's called Cobwebs and Cocaine.
Yeah.
Like, so what the fuck's this guy singing about then? This is what the fucking Republicans are bumping as they're walking in.
Yeah, but also remember,
vete la verga.
But also remember, conservatives jumped on his fucking bandwagon and he said, no, this song is not just about conservativeness. It's about everything. And then the conservatives turned on him as well, some of them, because they're like, oh, so he's fucking, I'm like, dude, you have to understand, like,
the song was still pretty good, though, I'm not gonna lie. I enjoyed the song.
I listened to the song, and some of the lyrics for me were like, okay, dude, there's some things you just don't get, but then you're also a white man in America.
Exactly. That's what I was getting off of it, too. But just to touch on those notes of fucking music like that, there's a song that I fucking heard, and I was like, what the fuck, afterwards? And I was like, okay, well, it's a feel-good song, I'm not gonna lie. But it ended up being like a Christian dude. But
yeah,
it was very fucking feel good, and
one of my favorite.
You can't go wrong. You know
one
what I mean?
Of my favorite metal bands is Norma Jean. They started out in the Christian rock music scene.
As Are They Dying? Fire,
you know, and like, but I think the thing is like, right? Norma Jean's like, I remember when they cussed on one of their albums.
Yeah,
and they were interviewed. I forget what magazine. They were like, you know, you guys are dropping F-bombs in this shit. Like, what's going on? They're like, we understand that we're Christians. But they're like, but our music is not Christian music. It's about an expression of like living. And so like for them, they're like, you know, like, yeah, so on this album, this is how I felt. And that's what I wrote. It's not my personal faith has nothing to do with what I'm doing on stage.
Yeah, I'm still making my I'm still making my pastor fucking rich when I go over to him on Sundays.
I'm still giving him 10% of my check.
I'm going on Sundays.
But that's the thing,
it in
right?
His pocket for sure.
I you know, again, like I think music is just, you know, if it fucking moves you, it moves you. Like, I mean, dude, there's music that I listen to that I'm like, it's heavily religious. But I mean, at the same time, like, it's not about the religion for me. It's about the sound and how it's put together and how it's made. I'm like, man, this is a beautiful song.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I mean, like, fuck. I mean, I've listened to everything from fucking, you know, Sting to fucking the blackest death metal, like, and everything in between.
Fucking band that fucking is all frantic. What the fuck is that shit?
Oh, Mindless Self-Indulgence?
Yeah, fuck, dude. What the fuck? You might as well like Primus.
Yeah. You know, there's some jams from Primus that I like.
Get the
I mean,
fuck
I'm
here.
Not the biggest Primus fan because
fuck
some
no.
of the prog music scene is not particularly like where I sit. But I would say like Mindless Self-Indulgence is schizophrenic enough
you know
where
know
I'm
what
like
prog is, bro.
Well, prog is basically.
I'm pretty sure you just know what hip hop is nowadays.
You
That's
know,
all there is.
But I mean, but prog music has always existed, right? Yeah. Like, you know, fucking Rush is a big prog rock band. But I don't like Rush. I don't like the vocals. I understand the musicality, but I don't particularly care for the music. You know, like Mindless Self-Indulgence.
I can't think of any of their songs.
Mindless. Tom Sawyer is probably their biggest hit.
I never heard of it.
Never heard of it.
No.
Yes, you
probably
have.
Yeah, I probably have.
I could play the song, but I can't right now because we're recording.
For
but,
Primus, all I hear is fucking slapping. Bam, I slap at a bass, bam, man. Bam, I slap at a bass.
It's all about the time sequences. Like, it's all that mathematic shit, right? Like, Radiohead is also really good at the mathematic shit, too. Like, they talk about how they...
Fucking radio's top tier, though, brother.
They unsequence shit and stuff like that. Like, I mean, I listen to Dissect, the podcast. They break down albums every season. They did my favorite Radiohead album. They did it in Rainbows.
Okay.
It's my favorite album. I love Kid A. I love all their albums except for the Bends. None of the Bends. I'm sorry.
80s.
Pablo Honey. Their first album. I don't particularly care for it. But
that's what made them, man. It's fucked up.
It is what made them. They also don't really.
You're not a real fan, yo.
you know they never play Creep, right?
Yeah,
they hate Creep.
You told me about that shit about fucking.
But
they fucking hate that shit. But
yeah, but you know,
got paid.
I mean, it took him some time. Listening to that podcast, he breaks down all the shit, time sequences, and all this stuff, and like how. And I was just completely blown away with how they think about things. Yeah, like just some of the shit they're doing. I'm like, holy fuck! Like, who would even think about this? It's the same thing. Like they talk about Kendrick Lamar or Tyler the Creator. They talk about like some of the fucking. The lyricism and where they got their beats from and why they do what they do and how it all fits together. And I really like that podcast. It's one of my favorites. But yeah, I mean, like going back to
Cali.
I mean, just there are two enjoyable films that we watched this week. I mean, we forgot to wrap up the part of the movie that we liked and then go off into other things. But I mean, honestly,
Dumb Money was a good fucking film too.
They're both great films.
You're gonna learn some shit.
And eye opening in different ways.
Yeah, jump into fucking stocks that are low. Check out their 5-year. That's it. Easy shit.
We are not financial advisors, by the way.
Never.
I will say that.
Never.
Like,
never. Of course not.
This is just us talking.
Yeah.
Just remember that we are not. Don't ever take legal advice from us. We are not lawyers. We're not doctors. We're not nothing. We're just two fucking schmucks.
We take risks every day as soon as we get behind the wheel.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean that's the same thing. Like you invest on your own at your own risk, at your own peril. Like do not take us for advice. It's like anybody who asks me a legal question, I go, I am not a lawyer. Go talk to a lawyer.
I just read a lot.
It's just dumb shit. But tidbits.
Tidbits. I don't really fucking have any.
You really
have any.
That's fine. Sometimes there's slow weeks.
Yeah. Well.
So
let's pretty much fucking the whole rainy season kind of fucked everything up in Los Angeles.
You
can't really do shit
for sure. So
to be honest.
So let's talk about the 2 weeks for the 2 weeks. The next two films for next week, we're going to be talking about Maestro, starring Bradley Cooper, directed by Bradley Cooper. I am not a Bradley Cooper fan, but you know what? It was nominated for Best Film.
Well, he's
therefore,
a fan of himself for sure.
I'm going to watch it. Yeah, he's a fan of me, though. I know that for sure.
Oh, the hell? Of course. The fuck?
It has to be.
How could he not?
And then we're going to watch a film from 2022 that stars one of my fucking favorite guys of all time, Ron Perlman with The Baker on Hulu. Check that out.
Hell yeah.
That's that those are the two films, Maestro and The Baker. We will be back next week, as always.
Two free movies.
Two free movies that you pay for.
But you can watch them with us.
No commercials.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the important part. Yep. Unless you have the lowest tier, then maybe some commercials. I don't know how it works because I can't stand fucking commercials. But with Amazon fucking Prime, I have not upgraded because fuck them.
With Paramount Plus, I got ads, but
yeah.
For movies, they don't pop up. For shows, yeah, it's another story.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's only like one or two.
Apparently, ads that are happening in Prime, they're really bad. Like, they're not even, like, edited in properly. They just pop up, like, as the movie's going. It's really weird.
No, it's fucking horrible.
That's terrible. I'm like, though, I haven't decided yet.
The fucking Paramount Plus apps, I mean, the fucking ads are Paramount Plus.
Right, in the beginning and the end, yeah. I imagine.
No, even
maybe
in the middle.
In the middle? Yeah. Like a traditional television show.
Yeah, every one, or they do fucking like two ads for commercials, let's say, you know, commercial break.
Oh, that's not bad.
One of them is always theirs. So it's like, okay.
That's not bad. Show. But as always, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to us. We are the Renderos Bros for the time being.
Yeah,
we're probably going to change the name to Cinema Renderos because we do talk movies. It's the movies.
We
haven't locked anything in.
Give us some time.
But yeah, yeah.
We'll figure it out.
We're trying to figure it out. And then, you can find us individually as Render Me Sam.
I'm Hollywood Mike with a double I in Mike.
We'll catch you guys next week. Stay safe out there.
Stay dry. Take it easy.
If you're in Los Angeles, stay dry.
Wear your mask if you go to the doctors.
Yeah. And for right now, I would recommend wearing your mask when you go to the grocery store, anywhere like where there's a lot of people. You know.
And send the Sam some love because he's turning 49 or some shit like that.
Yes, 49 minus
seems like he acts
six.
That way. Like, I mean,
I'll be 43 on Friday.
We'll be at the bar on Friday. Pull up and get him a drink.
That's right.
It's an undisclosed location, so take a guess. Pull up. Maybe we might be there.
Just start looking for me.
It's a bar, so just pull up to a bar.
All right, guys. We'll catch you guys next week. Stay safe.
Stay up. Drinks. Me. We'll be right back.